Okay. So today is, oh boy, help me out here. Is today's day 14, I believe. Today's day 14. Yeah, wow. Today's day 14 of our coronavirus miracles healing Zoom circles. And it's quite, I mean, every day I feel like so much healing, so much joining, so much sharing. We go deeper and deeper and deeper. And this week actually is National Physicians Week. So I thought it was a day, but it's actually National Physician Week. And I'm reading here March 25th through the 31st. So we're actually today's, I guess today's the last day. And it's really kind of timely. My brother posted something about this on LinkedIn. I saw that. And then yesterday night, I was watching something with my son, and there was a telecast of this physician, an emergency room physician, female, probably young, 30s, 40s, you know, young. And she was talking about what's going on. I don't know what city she's in. And it was very, very poignant because she was talking about how the system is overloaded. I don't have the things I need. I can't do the testing. I don't have the staff. I just don't have. And then she just really was, you know, holding back her tears, you know. Emergency room physicians don't usually cry like that. You don't survive in the emergency room if, you know, you got to really be really, really strong, quote unquote strong, and you got to be prepared for anything that walks in because you have no idea what's going to walk in. It could be a cold, it could be someone who's, you know, in full-blown respiratory arrest, you know, and everyone is needed. So it was so poignant to me to hear her. And then what happened is there was even something about a news about some hospital where perhaps there have been so many deaths that they've been storing bodies like in a refrigerator in the back of a truck, you know? So this is like right here in our backyard. This is not in some foreign country somewhere, you know, where, you know, it's not happening in the States, it's happening here. But as I was watching it, I was also like the spirit was with me and it was just watching. I was watching. And I was watching it as an extension of the mind, you know, not like out there, but an extension of the mind that's here, just one mind watching it. And then I didn't really even do anything with it, but it was there. And I think I just let myself do some cooking for today. And then I think I watched a movie. And then this morning I got up and while I was in meditation, there was such a, I was feeling so much gratitude. I was feeling such a sense of so much healing and so much opportunity for healing and all the miracles that have been experienced. And I could just feel this overflow of gratitude. And then I checked my phone and I had received a text from a woman. Her name is Alicia, and she actually lives in the Rochester area, and she's an editor of a magazine that I was asked to write an article for. The magazine is called Physician Outlook, physicianoutlook.com. It's online and it's also a print magazine. And she had published an article that she had asked me to write back in January. And I'd kind of forgotten about the article. It was in my mind to ask her to check in. And lo and behold, there it was. And as I read the article, I had that moment. What Francis was describing about the problem and the solution are given. You know, here's the problem and boom, here's the solution. And it was quite miraculous because the article was written sometime in January. And at that time, the coronavirus issue was big in China, but not really much of anything that was too much. Not the way it is for sure, like in the States or even in Italy. I know Maria is here with us. But it was so amazing what was written because as I sat down to write the article, I could feel, okay, this is going to be for physicians. So what's needed here? You know, because different people have asked me to write an article and it's always different how it'll come through, you know, as if it's for this audience and it's for this audience in the language they can hear. So I wanted to read a little bit about this article because it's really like, you know, the there was someone also in the news, a couple of people, one was, I think, a political person. I'm not good. I don't remember. I just remember what they say, but I don't remember sometimes where they are. But he was saying that he'd rather people be allowed to go outside now because he's more afraid of the economic downfall that's going to happen. And if that meant lives were sacrificed, then he'd rather do that. And someone else also said that, you know, and it was so interesting to me because I was in that watching space and I'm like, isn't this beautiful? Because here's the ego mind again. And then something came to me from the course and it said, your greatest fear is not future loss. Your greatest fear is not future loss, but present joining. Present joining. Yeah, I see Anna Carroll's kind of shaking her head. I think she remembers this. Yeah. So your greatest fear is not future loss, but present joining. And so we've been talking about our fear of love, our fear of the miracle, our fear of healing, but that mind takes us outside again, you know, and it's saying like, even if I have to sacrifice, I want to assure this thing, right? This thing, this future economic whatever. And everyone is scrambling because no one knows what that's going to be. And so then there can be debate and this, but it's so beautiful when you're in that watching space. It's like you're watching it and then he said this and the course phrase came in. So immediately the correction came in. Like, here's a reinterpretation. You know, you don't have to fight against this. You don't have to judge this. You don't have to theorize it. But here, let me give you the correction. So it was so beautiful. And the article, I was actually talking about this idea of, they actually asked me to talk about the book I had written. So the title of the book is Physician Heal Thyself. Physician, heal thyself, to go within, right? Because that's where the healing is. So I'm going to just read portions of the article and then just whatever spirit wants to share, because I really want us to gel with this idea. So it's not even an idea, but it becomes a real knowing that the problem and the solution go together, that the call for love and the answer to love come together. You know, the ego creates time. And the ego makes it out there somewhere, future or past. And it was so beautiful, Frances said in her teaching on Sunday, we don't have a past reference. This has never happened. And we really can't plan for the future. So we are in lockdown. But some of us, I've been reading on Facebook, Native American prophecies, Native American teachings, there's a portal that's opened. It's a portal to go within. Wow. Like, you think about a portal, like in those sci-fi stories where the portal was just open for that minute and then, you know, you could go in and then it was going to close and it would be like it was not even there, right? It was not even there. So now here's a portal. Here's a portal and we can all go in. But which way are we going to go, right? Which way are we going to go? Are we going to go into future loss, worry of future this, all of that? Well, yeah, you can do that. You can certainly do that. Or are you going to say, I'm so tired of doing that. I'm so, so tired. I'm like done with that. I'm done with that. And I'm going to use this as an opportunity to go through the portal. Because guess what? You know, it says like the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is at hand. First seek the kingdom and everything will be added. I mean, these are not just statements. These are truth. These are a guidepost to truth, and now we can really get it. That's what I'm feeling like. Yes, I can really get this. So I'll just read. So this is Empowering Physicians to Make a Change. That's their subtitle. And this is an introduction to Physician Heal Thyself, A Doctor's Journey from Medicine to Miracles. When I entered an accelerated medical program right out of high school, I was just 17 years old. I felt this burning desire to marry the science of biomedicine with the spirit of true service. Medicine was a calling that I had to answer. There was simply no other choice. And some of us are nurses here. Shirley is a nurse here. Some of us are therapists. Janice is a nurse. You know, we've psychotherapists and social workers. I know, you know, we're helpers, healers, teachers. Right? It doesn't matter, you know, so we have that passion, right? That desire to be of service. but and so this is like being addressed to physicians. Do you feel this way too? Did you feel this way too when you chose to become a doctor? Do you still feel this passion for medicine today that you felt as a young medical student? And I bet so many physicians are asking themselves that question. Or perhaps now, many years or even decades later, do you feel disillusioned, perhaps disenfranchised, and maybe even disgusted with the state of medical practice? With the rise in physician burnout and many physicians choosing to leave medicine altogether, many of us might be questioning our initial choice to become a doctor. This brings me to my very first book, which I recently self-published, Physician Heal Thyself, A Doctor's Journey from Medicine to Miracles, A Mindful Approach to Healing Based on Teachings of A Course in Miracles. Physician Heal Thyself is my exploration of the bridge between Western medicine and spirituality from my vantage point as a traditionally trained medical doctor, drawing from my personal and clinical experiences along with scientific research. I share a clear explanation of the basic principles of A Course in Miracles, long regarded a classic among modern spiritual teachings. My book also offers simple, expansive, and effective tools for healing. So I talk about in my book, there's a section where I share how I had gone to this pilgrimage in India, and I had had this real beautiful awakening, like a profound experience of no separation and joining in the caves of northern India. And then boom, I went back to the States and I was in the world of, you know, high school and pressure and SATs and applications and, you know, that whole maze. And so it was such a contrast. And I yielded to this pressure and enrolled in medical school. Yet something about this path never seemed right. And I think when something doesn't seem right to us, something in our core, it's our invitation to take this to spirit and ask us, help me understand this. It doesn't seem right because maybe I'm not in my right mind seeing this. So it's not like it's wrong out there, right? Because that's like, it's wrong out there. That person is wrong out there, or I'm wrong. It's not that. I'm not seeing it right. So something about this path never seemed right. I had so many questions that were not being answered in my medical school training. What is healing? How can we support healing? What are the obstacles to healing? What is the role of a doctor in healing? What is my purpose in becoming a doctor? My friend, Dr. Marlene Wust-Smith, who asked me to write this article, felt inspired to start Physician Outlook magazine because she feels a strong desire to create a safe space where we can each find our answers to these questions. I believe at some level, all of us as physicians seek to answer such questions using the framework that resonates most for us. We might feel drawn to lobby for changes in the socio-political aspects influencing access to healthcare, or we believe strongly that fundamental shifts are required in medical student education, associated costs, student loans, and debt. Perhaps we are adamant that cutting medical expenses at the risk of delivering substandard healthcare simply cannot be a viable option. And I felt like this is so timely because these are the things that are being discussed right now, you know? And I wasn't really thinking about that, but it's so beautiful when you're like just working with spirit, you know, like the words are given. And it was like written 2 months ago. And that just was like the miracle in my mind also, like, wow, the answer had already been given. You know, the answer was already here. So through my book, Physician Heal Thyself, I share the answers I have discovered. But my book is not about sweeping healthcare reforms or external ways to dramatically change anything about our healthcare landscape. Rather, my book is a clear, systematic roadmap for the inward journey that I believe we are all being called to take so that the broken healthcare system that we try so desperately to fix with all sort of band-aid approaches can be healed from the inside out. I wrote my book because I felt inspired to share this profound message with all those who feel ready for a radically new way to see themselves, their patients, and their role in medicine and healing. The ancient Chinese philosopher and writer Lao Tzu wisely shared the following: if there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the nations. If there is to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the cities. If there is to be peace in the cities, there must be peace between neighbors. If there is to be peace between neighbors, there must be peace in the home. If there is to be peace in the home, there must be peace in the heart. And so we've been talking about healing and health is inner peace, is the acceptance of inner peace. So this is like such an amazing time we're living right now, where all of these seemingly different worlds have all intersected. And it's like we're all of us have this portal where all of us are together, and it's our choice. You know, where do we want to go? Before we can heal our healthcare system, we need to turn inward and heal ourselves, not just our bodies, but also our minds and hearts, specifically our perception of ourselves and the world around us, which includes hospitals, patients, pharmaceutical companies, healthcare administrators, nurses, and all other healthcare practitioners. If we are to heal, we must first experience peace of mind and inner happiness on a consistent basis, not just when we take off time to vacation in Bermuda or some other distant tourist spot. I remember one summer I worked for a physician, a pediatrician who had a huge practice, and it was in Brooklyn. And he hired me to work part-time. And I thought that would be a good way for me to balance my desires. Even at that time, I knew there was a book I wanted to write. There was stuff I wanted to create. So I was trying different models that would allow me. So I thought, okay, I'll work part-time and I'll have this time. Well, no, it didn't work out that way. Part-time ended up being, you know, it should have been 20 hours on the books. It was like 40 hours, because a couple of days into the hiring me, he went off. Like literally, he went off on a boat, you know, to do his vacation time. And so he was on this boat, and you didn't even really have much cell phone, you know, so I really wasn't able to contact him. And it was a mill basin. Mill basin is where I worked, and I felt like I was in a mill. I was grinding mill. I would be seeing 30, 40 kids every day, you know. And sometimes I would get patients, the parents, yeah. They would say, my kid is sick. And I know he's got an ear infection, and this is what I want you to write because we have XYZ to do. And I would say, well, why do you need me then? You know, why are you coming? What am I here to do for you? Because I would be like, you've made the diagnosis, you know the solution, you know. But that was the culture, you know. They're very affluent and very busy, and you know, on the go, and don't have time for this, don't have time for that. And here we are, where all we have is time. You know, all we have is time. You know, we can't do. So I'm reminded of him. And I'm also reminded of these lifestyles that we can have where, you know, we have a lot of wealth, but it's like we have to go off and escape from our lives, you know, like you'll hear physicians are, I'm working harder now. So I have that week. And then when I come back, I'll have to work harder because of all I've missed during the week. So I saw through this lifestyle. Like, I think I saw it, you know, it took me a while, but I started seeing the holes. I started seeing the holes, and it was like, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Like, I felt like I was like the, you know, the emperor, right? The emperor has no clothes, and I'm seeing it and no one else is. So I feel many of us here have had that, you know, this knowing something is not quite right. It's like Neo in the Matrix. Something is not right. You know, and Morpheus teaching him the world is something that's been covered, pulled over your eyes so you do not see the truth. The whole world has been covered, right? But now there's a portal. Now there's a portal. Now we're meeting the ends of what human individuals can do, human resources can do. You would never think in a country as affluent as the US, that we would be talking about ventilators and not enough ventilators. And, you know, Governor Cuomo was talking about they're bidding for ventilators from companies, and states bid against each other. Like, this is like crazy. this is crazy. This can't be the world that we want to, like, you know, we want to bring this in for healing. We don't want to debate it. We don't want to debate it. We want to bring it in and say, Spirit, help me here. I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to, like, you know, get into the debate of this, the intellectualization of it, right? So it feels like we're watching a movie. You know, we're watching a movie. This can't be real. This can't be real. But if we feel that this can't be real, can we take it in? Can we say, okay, Spirit, let me let you use this, whatever this is, to take me into the real world. I want to see the real world because this is too hard. When I was watching this physician, I was like, wow, my heart's, you know, I could just, this is my pain. Her pain is my pain. You know, even if I'm not there, I'm there. And the bodies and everything, those bodies are our, you know, they're our family. There's no separation. There's no separation. And yet, I don't want to sink into depression. I don't want to sink into this helplessness and powerlessness. If something is to come up for healing, I want to allow it. But my mind, I want it to be true, you know, directed towards peace and healing and what the ultimate solution is. So when I got, when I got this, I said to myself, like, yeah, I want to share this. I want to share this because as I was sitting with it, I was like, okay, so what my part is to just share this message. My part is just to voice it and to give voice to it, right? And who was here? Chris. Yeah. Hi, Chris. So Chris had yesterday talked about a sense of her throat, and feeling some symptoms and expression. And we were talking about expression and she was talking about maybe I have to stop talking. And what came through was like, maybe you need to speak up. And I took that in. I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling that too, that I want to talk about this. I want to share and I want to watch in my mind where I feel there could be judgments about this, that this could be taken as I'm sort of not sympathetic or I'm not like acknowledging the suffering or I'm living in some Pollyanna dream, you know, I'm not here. I'm not like really. And so I watched that and it was like, again, an invitation. No, this is for healing. And this may not be the way the mind, because the mind would be like, get busy, you know, get busy in the hospitals, you know, get busy, you know, talking to senators and getting enough ventilators and please don't get me wrong. We each have our own way to serve. So I in no way feel like this is the only way at all. I feel we're all like, you know, we're instruments in a beautiful orchestra and we each have our instrument. We each have our song. We each have our tone. So really, I'm just here to sing my song. You know, I'm just here to sing the song that brings joy to me, that lights me up from inside. That I just can't talk enough. You know, I just want to, you know, get on the balcony, like, you know, with all the Italians and just sing this song of, you know, listen, here's a way. We can do this. Here's a portal. We can come together. We can come into healing. We can bring everything in, bring all these images. Let's bring them all in because we are everywhere. We're all fragmented, but let's come in to a holistic, unified perspective. So for me, that was the healing because the call had been in the physician and me hearing her call, a call for love and a desire to answer. And the answer had already been given in this article that came in this morning. So just the synchronicity of that, you know, and so many other beautiful synchronicities. Like, for example, I had announced that Saturday and Sunday, we're not going to be having our sessions because there is an online retreat with David Hoffmeister and Francis Zhu and others from the Living Miracles community, which I just felt called to. I've been doing them monthly and I wasn't sure about this month. And I felt like, yes, I want to do this. And someone stepped up as a patron and they want to support those that might want to attend but are not able to because of financial constraints. So I feel like I see miracles everywhere. I see miracles everywhere. And you know, at this time, when everyone, so many, you know, are feeling like one of our friends, Greg Donner, who's in the miracles community, he posted something about don't how did he say that? Oh my gosh. Like, don't shrink. Yes. Don't shrink. Expand. Don't shrink. Right? The ego shrinks. The ego fragments. The ego gets like so tiny and makes that tiny thing the whole everything. Because that's what it wants to do, right? That's what it can do, because it is a separated piece. It's not the whole, right? So Greg was saying, let's expand. And so in a time where people are, you know, stock market and portfolios and economic this and economic that, here's this beautiful patron that's like stepping up and saying, I want to extend. Isn't that a miracle? So I feel like I see miracles everywhere. I mean, every time we join and you all show up with me, I feel it's a miracle. You know, every time we share and someone goes to that place of darkness and they expose it, and then we hold that space. And then a couple of days later, some of us will see, I just see light in that. I just see the light streaming through. Isn't that a miracle? So I feel like I see miracles everywhere. And I want to see more and more. If I feel so, I was feeling like spirits like was giving us this, deep call. And let me just frame it again for you. Our friend Sarah St. Clair, she was here. Janice and I, we hosted her. She came to Janice's group, maybe it was 2 years ago. And Sarah is also one of the, she's also part of the Living Miracles community, but now she's been sort of, you know, doing her own journey of traveling and sharing. And she said something. She said, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, I want sleep. You know, I just want sleep. I want to get back to sleep. And she said this, you know, you ask for sleep. And meanwhile, God wants to give you the whole universe, all of the everything to you, but you just ask for sleep. So the Course says we ask for too little, not for too much. We ask for too little because we feel like that's all we can get. That's all we can ask for. And that's all we need. But our Father, Mother, Creator, God, whatever you use, knows our needs. It's like a mother knows what the child needs even before the child. You know, I'm still a mother. And so, you know, for my son, I'd love to say, okay, you know, here's breakfast, here's this. Like I'm thinking for him, you know. It's a part of being, you know, you do that as a mother. My mother does that, right? So that Creator knows. And here's an opportunity that if we are experiencing whatever it is we're experiencing, right? Whatever it seems to be, whatever our quote unquote experience of lack or pain or suffering or shortage or need or whatever it is, let's acknowledge that, but let's ask for the full. Like, let's ask for an experience of God, because an experience of God has all the solutions. That's what it is. And I feel when people come to do meditation with me, when I used to do meditation workshops, they would sometimes say, yeah, when we come, we feel like we can, you know, we feel that like something is there. And I would remember saying, yeah, my desire is just to bring us to that experience, because that experience has everything. And it's not of me. It's not of me. You know, it's of everyone, and everyone is in it, and it contains everyone. And so let us expand, you know, like this beautiful patron is expanding just the idea of what it means to be, you know, with money. The relationship to money is expanding at a time when people feel like we have to shrink, right? We have to shrink. So I feel like we are each to each of us are witnesses. We can be witnesses to the miracles. And so, I really felt that was coming through me around the invitation to be miracle workers. You know, the Course says all are called, but few will answer. And now I feel like all are called and more will answer. I feel this way because the circumstances are such. And it's not a call to sacrifice. It's not a call to forget about yourself, that, you know, you're putting aside your needs and then you're thinking about this and then you start to feel better until you go back home and you remember your needs again. No, it's not that. It's that, like, we're part of this whole body and we're all going to be taken care of. So expand, you know, Spirit, expand my mind. Expand my understanding of this situation. Enlarge my perception. You know, enlarge my perception. That's a place in the Course that, you know, that's the use of time. Let's enlarge the perception. Let's not go into fragmentation. Let's not go back into fear. Let's not go back into business as usual. I saw something where businesses are having trouble, restaurant businesses, right? Because of all of this that's happening. And one restaurant, there was a picture, they had offered that they would make breakfast, lunch, meals for the people working in the hospitals. And so people would buy that to gift them, you know? So like, what a beautiful way to bring all these seeming needs together. Right. And so those beautiful creative solutions, they come from spirit, where no one is sacrificed. The restaurant person, you know, they need to make a life, right? So they get their money. The people pay and they get to express gratitude, and the physicians and nurses are taken care of, right? And it was labeled like for nurse this and this, you know, for a doctor this, for this and this. I know when I was a physician and you were working those shifts, oh my goodness, if someone brought you a meal, oh my God, like you'd be like, oh, you're like, you know, you might as well be Jesus yourself. Like that's what, that's how it felt, because you were really not able to, I remember sitting, you know, standing in front of a vending machine, because by the time you got to eat, everything was closed. You know, you couldn't go outside. The call was such, you had to stay. And one of the practices we did where I trained is the morning shift would bring in breakfast for the night shift. You know, that would be our job. So when they came in, they had breakfast before they left. And when we went on night, the day shift would do that. So I feel there are all these beautiful ways to us to extend miracles and to be in that space. And I want to probably continue to talk about this, that, you know, the miracle mindedness, drawing from my book. I'll put a link to this article. It's a free article, and you know, you can read all of it. And I know someone asked, let's see. Oh yes. Thank you, Barbara. Yep. Barbara put in the link for the retreat. So it's in the chat menu. So you can open up to that and you can find the information there. And I'll post it in my blog too. I don't think I did it last time. I did it, you know, on Sunday, but I didn't do it yesterday, so I can do that. So let's take this all in and let's enter into a space of quiet together, and then we'll open it up for a conversation. Okay? All right. So let's just let yourself be easy. Just let yourself be comfortable. I feel the energy of spirit is pulsating through us right now. I can just feel it. It's so vibrant. And yet at the same time, it can almost feel like a huge download, and we have to create the space for it. So let it come in at whatever feels good for you, because it will be perfect. So just take a nice deep breath. Let the breath go deep down to your toes and up through your head. Just let it expand. Just opening to hear, opening to receive. In the space of stillness, we find all the answers. We find all the comfort, the safety, and security we long for. There's nothing to do, nowhere to be, nothing to make happen, just being here. Joining in this present moment with whatever is. In joining, we give permission for everything to be exactly as it is. The ego mind will resist this and give us a whole catalog of reasons why this can't be, why it shouldn't be, why we have to do whatever it seems we have to do. And we allow that. It's like a frightened child that is having a nightmare. We can just hold this child, hold this fear, surrounding it with the stillness of this moment. Surrounding it with love, the presence of the beloved. Loves us so, so much beyond our imagination. Beyond our experience of the past. We are here to let the beloved guide us. We cannot negotiate this by ourselves. Let's not pretend that we can. Whole experience can be easier for us. If we let the beloved lead us step by step, moment to moment, day by day. Let's not focus on a destination, on an outcome. It's like getting on to the train or a plane, and someone else is going to drive. They know how to get there. We just need to get on and stay present. Letting them lead. Present joining is our fear, not a future outcome. So let's let ourselves ask. Let's ask Spirit to help us. What am I afraid of? What prevents me from being here, right now, right here? The portal has opened, and it's like the bridge. As we walk through it, there's sunny skies and beautiful light, water and mountains. No bodies, but a sense of oneness. In each moment, there is a portal. I don't know what the portal is, Spirit, but I want to walk through it. I want to walk with you and all my brothers and sisters through it. Show me the way. Guide my feet. Guide my thoughts. You be in charge. For I would follow you, certain your direction leads to peace and happiness. Take some nice deep breaths here. All the images of empty streets, empty parking lots, which hold a sense of fear and shrinking, let them be replaced with this experience in the mind of joining, of a song. Children singing and playing, of a joining that is so deep because it's not of bodies. And that joining is harmonious. No one is excluded. Everyone together. In celebration, in gratitude. let this be our experience in our minds and hearts. And let us each be instruments in the hands of the Divine Master, the Beloved Presence. Each of us instruments in His hands, that He may guide us to play our role, whatever that may be. We are the peacemakers, and blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed because we have been given this awareness of where the healing is. We've been given profound teachings to help us understand and each other. We cannot fail. We cannot fail. I bow to the divine within the coronavirus for heralding this transformation that is happening in a way that maybe I cannot always understand, but I can always reach to Spirit to help me. And let's now just bring to our mind all of those in the healthcare profession, the doctors, the nurses, technicians, and their families, and all that support them in unseen ways. Let's bring them all into our mind, into the light, and into the love. Let us answer their call for love with love, their call for healing with healing, their call for peace with peace. We love you all because you are all a part of us and we are a part of you. There is no difference, there is no separation. Here, in this present moment joining, we are one. Amen. Thank you. Namaste. So I just felt such a wave of gratitude because when I opened my eyes, I saw my father. He is there. And I just felt so grateful because he saw the doctor in me when I didn't. And I just feel so grateful today. Because he's been with me and my mom, both of them, at every point and allowing me to be here today. And I feel like I'm fulfilling my purpose. I'm truly fulfilling my purpose. And it wouldn't be possible without you, Baba. I love you. Mom, I love you. Thank you. Thank you. So thank you, everyone, for allowing me to share that. Let me just unmute them. Aapne kuch kehna hai?
Nahi, bas acha laga.
Nahi, nahi, mujhe bolna.
Sab theek rahega.
He's speaking in Hindi. English mein baat karo.
English mein.
Yeah.
We like the way you talk.
You are so. Yeah, we are three bodies, but we are one.
So clean, so clear.
From your soul.
We loved it.
Yeah.
And thank you again.
In the beginning, you want to go to holistic medicine. But every Sunday, I will sit with you and read my scripture book. I said, you just finish your MB. So then you can do whatever you want. So finally, you know, you got your own field, whatever you want. Yes, that's it. We are aap, very.
Aap dikhai nahi de rahe, mummy. Aap dikhai nahi de rahe.
Ab.
Mummy nahi dikhai de rahi.
Ab. Abhi bhi nahi.
No. Okay. It's okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Very thankful to God. Very, very thankful. We don't have even gratitude. Words are small. How much gratitude we can say to God it's not enough. Words are not enough. Whatever, you know, we face, you know, some, you can say, you know, sufferings or whatever, but he was, you know, with us, and we don't lose our patience. Never, never cry, never. So he is, you know, with us. So that's why we, you know, did all those things. So right now we are here. And our daughter Seema is on the healing path, you know. So we are very, very thankful to God and all of you too. So, namaste.
Okay, thank you.
Ad kara?
Ah, bas, theek hai. Okay, thank you. Okay. So, Anna Carol. Yeah, you could raise your hand. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'm feeling so much gratitude today for the shift in and the blessing that has taken place. With the beautiful conversation that I had with my daughter yesterday, when I wasn't in fear. This is the first time that I can ever remember when I wasn't in fear when she was on the other line. And I was just telling her thank you. Every she'd say what she needed, what she wanted, and she didn't have the internet, and she needed to have me look up things, and it was like the love was just pouring through. And I've been in meditations now with how can I give, how can I serve the whole, and use this time, because it's like going into a hermitage the last week where I was really joining with Holy Spirit. And so now it feels like I can relax now. I just be told what to do. Maybe just go out into the lobby and play the piano or something whenever I'm guided to do something. So but the whole fear of what do I do, where do I go, how am I going to prepare for the future, this whole idea of a future and a past and guilt and, you know, all this ego thinking that's been crowding my mind. So it's like this is a gift that's been given me to be homebound. We're locked down here where I am in the senior center. And so it's my time to be with Holy Spirit and just ask what now, without fear of what will happen to the body or what might happen in the future. It really doesn't matter. But everything I do now is got to be because of guidance. Because if I'm making decisions by myself, I get into fear and I get into worry. And then that gets projected out everywhere. And so I can feel this, like we're all connected in this one mind, this one spirit that we are. And so it really does matter what my state of mind is, no matter what's going on seemingly out there. If I'm alone and in my place, it's still, we're all connected. There's really no joining in bodies. It's all in mind and heart. And I love this cute little Vietnamese Buddhist monk. I heard him yesterday and he was saying the most precious gift that you can give, the biggest gift that you can give always is your presence.
Mm-hmm.
Being totally available be really present. And so it matters more than any gifts or any doings or any money or anything. That's what is needed, is our presence. So thank you. It's been beautiful today.
Thank you, Anna Carol. So beautiful. Thank you. So I just wanted to check in, Mary, because I remember at the end of last year, you had your hand raised, Mary Straub, and you weren't able to express. Did you want to express today, or are you just going to unmute you?
No, you just did. You just did. I'm just here to be today and to love.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So I wanted to go to Barbara. Yeah.
Hi, everyone. What a beautiful meditation, and how much it touched my heart to see Seema, your relationship with your parents and the love they have for you, the love you have for them, just touches me very, very deeply. I want to share in my work. I teach in the university. I teach people how to become social workers, and I was feeling like constricted and feeling like I wasn't doing my purpose. And I just want to share what this coronavirus has done and how it's just collapsed everything. And I've been having classes with my students online through Zoom. This is our last week together. And the boundaries have all changed. You know, my students have been contacting me and saying, do you need anything? They've been buying groceries for me and checking in to see how I'm doing. I'm checking in to see how they're doing. The great love that we have for each other. That purity, that when it comes down to it, you know, we all deeply love and care for one another, and we want to make sure we're okay and we're safe. And I was wondering, you know, feeling like there's this box and you can't really bring spirituality into the university. And thank you, Seema, for planting that seed about the resource of attitudinal healing, because the students that I introduced to that, they found that really, really powerful. But I asked them yesterday if I could share Muji's video that he was sharing with all of us about these times of crisis. And I asked if that would be okay if I shared that, and they all wanted it. And it just changed the whole conversation. It was no longer about academics, you know, it was no longer about theories and, you know, the stuff that we're supposed to teach. And it was just so beautiful yesterday. So, so beautiful. My administrators, you know, want to carry on business as usual. And I was in a meeting on Friday with them, and I was just observing what they were saying, and maybe if I'm an administrator, I would want to carry on business as usual. But I know my students, I know they know it's not, and it's shifted and it's morphed into something very, very beautiful. And yesterday, my Monday class, we had our last class together and people didn't want to leave. You know, I said, okay, class is over, and everybody's just sitting on Zoom, you know, and it was just beautiful, like just incredibly, incredibly beautiful. The virus, I see it's such an incredible gift. Has brought up so much to the surface for me. Yesterday morning, I was on my knees saying, how can I do this class? Because I'm just feeling off. I'm just feeling. So I did my lesson in the Course of Miracles and, you know, it was like a little child, you know, like a mama trying to take a knife away from a little child. And there was a grievance that was right in my face. And the lesson was saying, see the Christ in that person. And it was like, I was just fighting. It was like, just fighting. I didn't want to. And I was sobbing and sobbing like a little kid, like, don't take this knife away from me. I want it. I want it. I want it. You know, and finally I surrendered. Finally I did what I was asked to do in the Course of Miracles. And yeah, it shifted. It shifted for me, you know, and I'm so grateful I found the Course in Miracles. I found it in the 1980s and didn't get it. And finally, you know, all these years later, I picked it up and I don't have to get it because I'm shown it, you know, just as long as I have the willingness to do my small part, spirit, you know, takes us all, you know, to where we go. And thank you for reminding me about the portal. I've been seeing that on Facebook and feeling into, taking the day tomorrow in Hermitage. That's what it's feeling like. Today, Spirit was saying, so clean up your house and get it all in order and then just be quiet. 'Cause I've continued to work, you know, and it's been busy. And just so grateful for everybody here. And for our collective coming together and joining. So thank you.
Barbara, if you could put into the chat menu the website for Attitudinal Healing, many might want that as a resource and maybe
sure.
You would
sure.
Do that. Yeah, it's Jerry Jampolsky, who's a psychiatrist, who came to these teachings way back in the 70s, right around the time. Just, he was one of the, he worked very closely with Helen Schuckman and Bill Thetford and Judy, the publisher, all of that. So he was right there, and it really transformed his attitude, his approach. And he created Attitudinal Healing, which really takes away all of the theology aspects of it and really distills it. I think it's like the 12 principles of Attitudinal Healing. And there's groups throughout the world that, you know, have been built on these ideas and principles. So certainly it's a beautiful resource. And my mom and I don't know if she's, yeah, Love is Letting Go of Fear. That's one of the first books that, you know, I would find and we would read together, and it referenced the Course in Miracles, and that brought me to the teachings of the Course. Okay, great. So Barbara's put that link for you in the chat menu. And Lauren, I want to come to you. I just want to go 1 minute. Maria, I wanted to check in with you because today, Maria had told me this. Is today the day of mourning in Italy? You had said Tuesday, or I don't know. Is it going to be
today? Today, yes.
It is, right? Yeah. So can you just, yes. We just want to hear from you.
Yeah. Ciao. yes, today is a mourning day, a national mourning day in Italy for all the dead people due to coronavirus. And at noon, all the flags, the national flags, have been set down half. But there is also a little bit positive note around this, because, and I want to share this with you all, because as America and other parts of the world are start approaching the coronavirus crisis, and we are kind of veterans in this time because we are facing this since February, and I want to share with you a positive note, because we are reaching the peak of the coronavirus crisis. So we expected to be free of this crisis in May. And this is the first time since the start of the epidemics that we are having more positive numbers, so good numbers in the statistics. And this is due to all the government restrictions and all the efforts that people are trying to keep in order to win this situation. But I think that even if today is a mourning day, this is the weather is gray since 2 days. We have no sun, but I think that I feel the love. I feel a world love. I feel a great connection of power, of love, of hope, of greatness. And I feel this when I read my friends and I see that they are opening their eyes over relationships, over the goodness, over whatever is really important. We know that nothing will be as before after this storm, especially in a country like Italy that has a lot of problem in economics, and closing all the productive units and all the workers in their homes is an economic tragedy. It's even more dangerous than the virus itself, because we don't have, you can imagine, the countryside is out of worker. Everything is shut down. And we know that this will be a great problem for tourism, for in the summer, for whatever. You can imagine we have students without lessons. Many students are still without online lessons, and they have to manage the country national examinations, and they don't know how to do it. So, but I think that this is really the time to pause and to learn from every single moment of stop. And this is the only way we had to do this, was to be obliged to stop our running in our daily life and starting to look for signs, look for miracles, look for little things. The changing voice of a friend, the caring voice of someone who can show commitment for the community. I've seen yesterday that Joan Baez, the singer, the American singer, Joan Baez, I don't know if it's pronounced correctly, she sang an Italian song for us as a tribute. Mm-hmm. Un mondo d'amore, a world of love. And this was very moving, because when you hear someone who wants to share love through a language, love through music, love through all the little things that are namely so cultural for us, this is so beautiful. And the fact that we were hit by the coronavirus crisis before, I think it's a good thing, because we now can help other people to face the crisis. Because we know what you feel when you are, you know, I'm at home since the end of February. In the last month, I see the sun twice. Mm-hmm. I went outside twice. So I think that we know how do you feel when you have restriction, social distances, when you have no food, when you have to rely on what you have. So this is very important. As you give to me and give to us so much love and so much power of community, of interhumanity, my desire, my hope is to share with you through my country experience, through my community experience, the strength you need now. You need now that you are entering this crisis. I do really hope that together we can really win everything, but only because of different experiences, because we are in this together, but really, really. And this is the only thing that I want to remember at the end of this crisis. So today, yes, it's a national mourning day, but I am happy anyway.
It's beautiful. Yeah, when I see you and I hear you and I listen to you, Maria, and ever since, you know, we've had this beautiful friendship, I see you like that willingness, you know, this flame of willingness, like you're just always willing. Whatever it is, like you said, every smile, every change of voice, change of this and coming together. And, you know, that's the little willingness, right? That's what the Course says. All you need is a little willingness. So you demonstrate that so beautifully. And here you are coming through this and, you know, you're wanting to share now. Like how beautiful. And I think that's the resilience of that spirit within us that, you know, cannot be hurt, cannot be put down, cannot be denied, cannot be suppressed. Like it just can't. It just can't. So thank
you. Because, you know, many people think I can do through this alone. No, this is the most, the greatest fake news of all. Mm-hmm. Even if you think that you will enjoy being alone, even if you think they will be overcome everything, no. The mindset will shake completely. Mm-hmm. And this is, I think, the most important awareness of this coronavirus crisis. So this is why it's so important to remind yourself of your relationships, of whatever is around you, what really counts. And I really, really hope that every single day from now on would really have the weight it has to do. It has to have. Sorry. It has to have. Because it's really important. And since this is a fight that we are fighting all together, there are no boundaries, no linguistic barriers, no cultural barriers, nothing, no belief barriers, nothing at all. You know, Sima, I am an anthropologist. Mm-hmm. So this is a dream becoming reality. People from different places all together recognizing only one nature.
Yeah.
That's all. And you are so great.
Thank you. Really, we receive so much from you, Maria. Every time you're on and you share, I know all of us have so much inspiration from you and so much gratitude, and our hearts are so joined with you. I just feel like that oneness, you know, totally.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for your sharing always. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so...
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for your share, Sima. I was tearing up when I was watching the interaction between your Baba and you, and it was just so beautiful. Because I've never had like an interaction between my parents like that before, and I just love seeing that kind of love between a daughter and, you know, their father and their mother. I don't know if your mom was present. I apologize. But I just love seeing that because I'm not particularly close with my mom, but I am with my dad. And I know, like, when the few times my dad has said he's proud of me, I just, you know, anyway. thank you everybody for sharing today. Seema, there are no words for this whole, the last 2 weeks. I lost my job in the middle of February. So I haven't exactly, like, kind of like Maria, I've been at home for a long time, mainly just because I've either not been able to go out because of very low income and not, you know, trying to conserve gas and not trying to go places, or I've just had car issues that I needed to have taken care of for weeks on end. So basically I spent the first month, literally the first month day to day, being consumed by my own depression, sorrow, and stress and situation, to the point where I was just wallowing in it day after day after day. And I mean, I was gripping with areas of my mind and overcoming them in ways that I was not aware that I was capable of. I mean, in the past, I would have, if I'd gone to these dark places, I probably would have succumbed to them. But there was something in me that just kept saying, no, this is not an option. You have to keep going. And I kept hanging on because for years, like with my mental health, I didn't know why I wanted to, I knew there was a reason, but you know, when you go to therapists and stuff, they're just like, well, they always ask you that same question. Well, why do you want to live? And for years, I told them, like, I don't know. Like, for years, I'm a nurse, and it was always to take care of my patients. And finally, I had this epiphany one night, like a week before I got my job offer, and it was, I want to live to know what God's purpose for me is on this earth. And that had been unconsciously why I'd been pushing myself for so many years, despite everything I had been through. And at that moment, I think that's when my healing journey turned. And after I got the job, everything just kind of started falling into place. And the willingness, I mean, not only did the stress lift because I knew where my next paycheck was coming finally, and I had a start date. I just had to pass the background check, but I made the conscious choice to want to try and start finding the hope. And I think I started seeing, I follow a bunch of stuff on Instagram, and I got a tarot card reading, I think back in November, from a friend of mine who's done a couple for me, and she's always been very accurate with the few I've had done. And she said, your healing will come after winter. You will find your purpose after winter. And she was very correct. And it didn't occur to me until yesterday when I talked to her in passing that this has come to pass, which most of the things she has predicted have, which is hilarious. But my point is, I started seeing things on Instagram about, you know, you can see the coronavirus as this negative blah, 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 or you can see this as a time of how we're focusing on now. And then I saw your post about the calls. So I started joining the calls late, and it's just, you know, I can't describe it. I mean, today, like the article that you said, it hit me so hard. Like it, and that's why I was crying so much, because I realized that the core of a lot of my pain the last few years has been centralized around my nursing career. And I related so heavily with the article, mainly because I want to change my approach to nursing. And I feel like I was called to nursing, but I don't have the correct perspective. And I don't have the correct perception. I'm not in the right mind of how I approach nursing. And I need to change that, and I need to change my approach instead of just trying to exit the profession and put blame on it, instead of using it as the blame and victimizing myself and taking responsibility for what I can change about the situation and what I need to heal about the situation and approaching that. And I think I really want to look at that article more deeply. And I think there's just been, like Maria was saying, there's just been so much during this time. I really reconnected with a lot of people in like my recovery program, and I've, you know, been so much more joyous. And I mean, even though there has been hardships, and like right now I don't have money to support myself, and I don't have blah, 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 whatever, you know, everybody's got their shit going on right now, I'm still smiling and I'm still accepting situations. Usually I would, you know, like you were saying the other day, like I've been actually accepting things as they are. I'm pausing and I'm like, wait a minute, I can fight reality or I can accept reality. And it's like, okay, I'm just going to accept this. And I'm just going to cry about it, and I'm going to get over it, and I'm going to move on. And it's been this beautiful thing because I have been so closed off for so long. And I've always said to myself, nobody in my community cares. Like, nobody in my community cares because, you know, I don't have a close relationship with my family. And my parents and I have a broken relationship, and my siblings and I get along really well, but my parents and I have a broken relationship, so I don't consider them my family. I consider my community my family. And there have been so many people since I lost my job in my community who have stepped up and just been there for me. And it has been such an outpouring of love, like, and I haven't even directly asked them. They've just been there. And I've just been so overwhelmed with that. And it's just so beautiful. Like, I just can't believe it. Like, it's just been such a beautiful experience that I can't put into words. You know, it's kind of like Maria was saying, like, you have to, you know, even though there's so much shit going on outside and so much sorrow, like my dad, I know we're getting close to time here, but my dad lives in Maryland, and he just found out that they're going into a shelter in place effective last night at 8 o'clock. And he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. And he's so type A and always got to stay busy. And he's just a mess. And he's just, everybody on my Facebook statuses are bitching about how Trump extended the closing down the country till the 30th. And I'm just like, I am so grateful that for this group and for this community, because I'm just so grateful that I have this perspective on, being thankful during this time, because I would otherwise have been one of the people who would have been miserable during this time, because that's the old me. And I'm really glad to be embracing this. So thank you for letting me talk. And I'm sorry if I went over.
Thank you, Lauren. Thank you. I feel like you've expressed, you know, so much for all of us. So actually my friend Janice is here. So let me, because I also wanted to ask her to talk about the groups she facilitates. So Janice, go ahead. Oh, let me.
Great.
There you go.
Am I muted?
Nope, you're good. You're good.
This was great, and a big hi to her, you know, Seema's parents. Big hi and a wave. You mentioned Jerry Jampolsky, so I thought I'd slip this in that. On Fridays at 1 o'clock, I'm going to be reviewing his book. I thought the Love is Letting Go of Fear would be really appropriate for this time. So we're going to be doing that. And I also run a Wednesday evening at 7. You know, Joe and I sort of, you know, share in the same email our meetings. So that's always in there. And we're actually in the Manual for Teachers section 4. For this Wednesday night. And so I think between Joe and I, we have a lot of things covered in the book. And of course, we're doing also the lessons by the day since January 1st. So I just wanted to thank you. This was great. It was very nice hearing from Maria to see what's going on in the world and everybody and seeing everyone, Alexandra and Barb. And Emil, I just see, came onto the call. So thank you. Thank you. This was great. The meditation was beautiful.
Yeah, so I'm going to put Janice's email and Joe's email in my blog. So you'll have that because you can reach out because Joe does a Monday night group. Janice does Wednesday night and then again Friday. These are all Eastern. We're all in Rochester, so Eastern Standard or Eastern Daylight Time. And if some of you, I think you may not be on my blog. I think most of you are. So if you're not, please reach out to me. You can go to my website, Coaching for Inner Peace. That's Coaching, F-O-R, innerpeace.com, and sign up for the newsletter. So you'll get the daily, you'll be getting the recordings and whatever else we're doing. And yeah, Joe, Janice, and I are, we're really working together so that we can have opportunities for these joinings. And it feels so beautiful because, you know, as Maria says, you can't do this alone, right? So this is really beautiful that, you know, we're all stepping into this in the way that feels inspired and joyful. And so we can be in service. So I think we are at time. So yeah, so let's just unmute everyone so everyone can sort of connect and say hello.
Okay. Hi. Hi.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Emma.
Thank you,
everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you.
That was terrific.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you, Baba.
Thank you from England.
Thank you, Val. Thank you for joining in. Thank you so much.
Lovely to connect with the world.
It is. Thank you. Thank you.